Welcome to Marvel Champions Podcast, a podcast about Marvel Champions, the card game. I'm your host, Scott, and with me, as always, my co-host, Ryan.
How are we doing?
Doing pretty good.
Are you ready to talk about part two of Apocalypse?
Yes. I think this is like the bigger part of the campaign boxes. You get five villains. Well, maybe five villains. In this case, we see the villain or the heroes, and it's only two of them, but you get some pretty good value in the game with these campaign boxes with the scenarios. And yep. This one's looking to be quite a doozy.
Yep, definitely with campaign boxes, the key is absolutely the campaign itself with those five villains. People sure. are loving the campaigns. Loving the new villains. I think the last two boxes have been pretty well received overall. So this will be a good way to hopefully cap off the mutant saga.
Yeah, and it wouldn't be mutant saga without Age of Apocalypse.
That's so true.
Pretty exciting.
I am assuming this is the end. Kind of like Avengers, there were three boxes that focused on Avengers, the Infinity Saga. So I assume that's what's happening here too.
So do you think they'll do like a transitional wave next wave like they did with Sinister Motives? Or do you think they'll go right into like another saga, quote unquote saga?
I've been thinking about this, and it makes sense if there's like a transitional one like they did with Sinister Motives. It could be like an opening to do like random ones, or they could always go straight into their new one, but who knows. I do have, I don't know, should we hold off on speculation for future boxes?
Yeah, maybe we'll share that for the end, I guess.
Okay,
we'll put a pin in it, just pin it right there.
All right, reboot, got it.
All right. I feel like this box is a little bit of like Guardians Most Wanted. I'll be honest with you. I have no idea who Drang was in the Sinister Motives. Not Sinister Motives. Jeez. Galaxy
this
Most
is awkward
Wanted.
For everyone.
Yeah. Galaxy Most Wanted. Like, I had no idea who Drang was. So that was kind of like, okay, it's a dude and some aliens. But I feel a little bit like that way with the first villain that they introduced.
The first villain is, I'm assuming it's pronounced Eunice.
I would think so. Eunice instead of Un-Us. That's just, no.
Un-Us.
Eunice.
Eunice, yeah, I don't think I've ever heard of him.
No.
Probably because he wasn't in the 90s cartoon.
Right.
Or maybe he was, and I just don't remember.
He was that little squiggle in the background that you could barely see when there they all ran into each other.
That's right. There was one episode I remember from the 90s that it like went through several different like groups of mutants. And that's where you saw like Random and Comcast. Do you remember those?
Yeah, I do. Like, it was like a panel shot, and it was like a voiceover by Dr. or Professor Xavier. He's like, "One day, mutants will live amongst all people." It was just like shots of random scenarios around the world.
It was so they could make the toys of them.
Right, right.
Yeah.
It's like, I got that one action figure that was in that one scene in that one episode for half a second. Sweet, Mom.
Thanks.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so far, Eunice, generally first villains. I'm assuming this is the first one. That's kind of how they do it. Is a little bit more straightforward, user friendly to kind of get you moving in the campaign. Just looking at them, kind of seems that way, but there's a little bit extra with it.
I will say I really like his mechanic, because I'm always like the Debbie Downer of like, oh, the villain gets permanent stalwart. Ugh. Or that one attachment's awful and you can't get rid of it. I like his mechanic that they've kind of implemented here.
Yeah, so it looks like, I mean, of course he has a main scheme. And his main scheme says it's got 11 threat and has a forced response, so that after you resolve step one of the villain phase, place one threat on Gene Pool. And of course, if this scheme is completed, the game ends. So this is probably the only scheme. But Gene Pool is a permanent side scheme. You don't. We haven't seen those in a little bit, I feel like.
We saw it in Project Wide Awake.
It's okay. So two boxes back. That's yep. Far enough for me.
Yep. And this one's interesting. So Gene Pool is a side scheme. Starts with a base of four threat. Permanent. It's also setup. I always like the good setup keyword. It makes it easy. Mm-hmm. Force response after an ally is defeated by anything other than consequential damage. Place three threat here.
So it's going up, and which makes sense because Eunice's like main thing is if there's a certain amount of threat on Gene Pool, he gets those bonuses. So if there's at least three on there, he gains Retaliate 1. If there's at least 6 on there, he gains Stalwart. And if there's at least 9 on there, he gains the, whatever that's called, the
Amplify
icon. I can never remember those names.
He keeps them all. So, like, if there is 9, he has an Amplify, he's Stalwart, and he's Retaliate.
Yeah. Which is pretty cool. I like the idea that he gets stronger if you're not able to thwart. And he can fluctuate his powers.
Right. So. If you keep Gene Pool in check, it will make him the villain a little easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now he himself, his stats, he's only got a 1 scheme and 2 attack. So he's kind of, I guess, average for a lower end villain. But the fact that he doesn't have a large scheme kind of makes me confused. But I guess you don't scheme on the side scheme anyway, so I'm assuming there are cards like treacheries and stuff that make that go up, other than that side scheme's force response, which is, like you said, after an ally is defeated by anything other than consequential damage, it goes up. So
I think in a way, you know, getting into the mind of a villain, he doesn't really care about his main scheme, because if he can soup up his Gene Pool side scheme strong enough, he can just kind of wipe you out. He's not trying to threat or scheme out per se. He wants to get stronger and amplify icon you to death.
Yeah, that seems fair enough. Yeah, and it just looks like he comes with minions and attachments that kind of just rally behind this whole scheme on Gene Pool. So right. Should be pretty interesting.
And keeping that in check. Because that one minion that they show, it gets some extra stuff if Gene Pool is against 3 Quick Strike, 6 is Surge, and 9 it gets 3 more hit points.
Yeah. So it's just getting stronger. So I'm interested to see how this one goes. I like the idea of him fluctuating, so I'm hoping that it is a good first scenario for this campaign.
Yeah, it's gonna take, I think, some good balanced heroes to figure out how to defeat him efficiently.
Yeah. It. I feel like you can't just punch your way through it, but I guess in theory you still can. You got to thwart eventually, though.
And I do like the mechanic that I've seen a little bit of trying to steer the player away from chump blocking with allies. Like they're building in some negative consequences to just chumping.
Yeah. And I love just allies. Throwing. And I love throwing my allies in front of giant punches.
Right.
And then walking away.
Hiding behind, you know, allies. You take the shot.
Quickly, Jubilee, here.
Jubilee, jump in front of this now!
Yeah.
That's good.
Though normally, if you did Jubilee, she'd die, because she didn't have a whole lot, and she's kind of the main... That was her thing, right? If she died, that you... No, that wasn't right.
No.
She, you could lose her, right? In Mutant Genesis. You can lose her, but you won't lose the game. Yeah, I think
she's like a victory negative one or something.
Yeah, okay. Okay, just making sure. I think a little bit of hope. Hope is if she dies in the campaign.
Yeah, hope gives you the negative ultimate loss condition.
Well, cool.
All right, that leads us right into what you think of with Apocalypse is the Four Horsemen. Seems like that'll be the second scenario, and this is the multi-villain scenario, which looks interesting.
Multi-villain. Of course, Four Horsemen, you've got yourself war, famine, pestilence, and death.
Death looks scary. Like his little mask, his skeleton mask.
Yeah, it's Archangel. But he has like this weird golden skull
face.
It is pretty creepy though. He is his villain card kind of looks like, I don't know if you probably have seen the episode of Office where Dwight has the mummy mask on his face. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yes.
So every time anyone listens to this, every time you see this card, you're going to think of that now.
Okay. The American Office.
The American Office, correct. Yeah. Correct. So just look up, if anybody wants to know the clip, just look up The Office CPR training, I think it is. Pretty good.
All right, let's see. Looks like you've got... They all have 9 per player hit points.
Interesting.
2 of them are one scheme, 2 thwart, or sorry, 1 scheme, 2 attack, or they're 2 scheme, 1 attack. Jeez. And you have war, famine, pestilence, and death. They're all horsemen traded, except for death is aerial. And they all have a forced response with their attacks, none with their schemes. War says after war attacks you, if he has at least 1 hit point, discard and upgrade your support you control. So an instant caught off guard is never fun. Famine says after famine attacks you, if she has at least 1 hit point, discard the top 10 cards of your deck. That's awful. Mm-hmm. Pestilence, after pestilence attack you, if she has at least 1 hit point, treat your identities text box as if it were blank, except for traits, until the next villain phase begins. That's bad for Bishop. Can't use any of his abilities. Mm-hmm. And then Death says, after Death attacks you, if he has at least 1 health, deal 1 damage to each character you control.
So the information they gave does not come with the main scheme, but it sounds like it's similar in the aspect of the second scenario for Mad Titan Shadow with Corvus Glaive and what's-her-face?
Tower Defense.
Tower Defense, yep. Because I believe, maybe I'm wrong, is you can kill one, but they are not technically defeated until the other one is, right?
Correct. So that was the other thing I left off on. Each of those, they share the same pretty much text. It says on each of their cards respectively, war cannot be defeated while another villain has at least 1 hit point.
Yeah.
Each of those has their respective name with that same phrasing.
So you gotta take them all out before they stop harassing you.
Right.
I mean, I guess, yeah. Yeah.
So they're not truly defeated until they're all defeated at the same time.
Yeah.
It's not like
as bad once you get into 0.
The Wrecking Crew, where you just kind of slowly whittle them off and they leave the game. These could potentially become the active villain. Because I think that was the other thing in the article. It said that there's only 1 of them active at a time.
Yeah, so there's some type of active token. I think some of the other cards mention the active counter. So the question I have is, how does the active counter move about? Is it going to be like the one with the least amount of health, the most amount of health? Is it going to be constantly rotating every round? Who knows?
I'm gonna make an assumption that it's going to be on one of those two things, either most or least health.
Interesting. Now, I have no doubt that there's going to be cards that fluctuate that, like make the active counter go to this villain, and then they activate against you or something like that. Right. Crazy.
Well, one of the treacheries is Rough Riders.
Rough Riders.
Rough Riders. When revealed, resolve the force response on the active villain as if it has at least one hit point and attacked you. Move the active counter to the next villain and resolve its forced response the same way. Yikes. So even if their hit point dial is at zero, the Rough Riders makes them activate and pretend like they have at least one hit point. So ouch. Their forced response goes off. Because if you can get them all the way down to zero, their forced response won't activate when you activate, or it won't respond when they activate or attack you. But ouch. Cards like that will. The other thing that can give them at least one hit point are a couple of attachments. We get one, which is the Golden Horse. They're all seen riding these golden horses and sea creature ostrich looking things.
Mm-hmm.
It says attached to the villain with the fewest hit points without aerial trait. Attached villain gains the aerial trait and is considered to have at least one hit point. So that fewest would be a villain that has zero. And then it says, oh, it gets a +1 scheme, +1 attack. And hero response, after you attack the attached villain, resolve its forced response as if it attacked you, then discard this card.
That stings.
Yeah. That makes me like a little bit excited to play this because, you know, as the heroes, I try not to like activate the worst one as often or as infrequently as I can. But this is going to force you to discard supports and upgrades, mill your deck 10, or blank out your text box, or damage every character you can control, probably more frequently than you're wanting it to.
Yeah, absolutely. I will say I'm a little disappointed that they went with the generic Four Horsemen's and not any like character-specific ones. I think that would have been cooler, but I guess in a way I kind of understand. It's just, for me, not as memorable when it's just Nameless Face War, Nameless Face Famine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get that.
Of course, you have Death. I'm glad they at least did Archangel as Death. But
yeah. And then, just to wrap up one final card, Metal Wings, +1 scheme, +1 attack, attached to Death. This is a Death-specific one. And you move the active counter to him. Death gains Retaliate and is considered to have at least one hit point. And then hero response, after you attack Death, resolve his force response as if he attacked you and discard this card. Oh, what's that one aggression ally that lets you remove?
Sunfire.
No, Sunfire. If it's got a win or hero response, he'd be good to have. Or that one, playing a vision. Vision's got that one that lets you mm-hmm. get rid of an attachment.
Yeah, which is interesting because if you had Death at zero and then he got Metal Wings, he essentially acts as if he's gained in health with that card.
Correct.
So he kind of rises from the dead.
Health. Right.
Yeah, which is cool.
Cool.
Well, hopefully this multi-villain scenario is the best one we've had thus far.
Yeah, we've got some good ones out there. The Sinister Six one is one of my favorites.
Yeah, the Sinister Six one was good. It was pretty fun. I'm trying to think of some other ones.
The Tower Defense one's alright.
I would say Next Evolution.
Yeah, right. You're right. I did like, that was a good one. The Marauders.
I was going to say Next Evolution has the Marauders, but in a way, they're not multi-villain because you're not facing them all at once.
They're like sequential villain.
Yeah. So I don't know if I would count that, but definitely Brotherhood is a multi. Sinister.
Brotherhood's sequential too because you're only fighting one of them.
That's true. Yeah. So you got, I guess you have Tower Defense, you have Sinister Motives, you have Wrecking Crew.
That's a boot. That's about it.
That's about it. Well, then by default, it sounds like Sinister Motives is probably the best one.
Better one, yeah. Yeah, well, hopefully this one will, you know, make it
run for its money.
Yeah, exactly. All right, and then what everybody came here for, star of the show, and what looks to be the third villain of the box.
Yeah, so this is interesting. Are they trying to pull a Mad Titan Shadow, whatever?
All right, Ryan, there's our preview. It's going to be Hela and Loki at the end.
It's Hela and Loki again, that's right.
Gotcha.
Now, I think maybe we'll talk about it in a sec, but I think there was a spoiler on the box, wasn't there?
Yeah, we can talk about that a little later, but FFG kind of spoiled it by accident by themselves.
Yeah, well, we all go through rough times. Sometimes it's in our teenage years, sometimes it's in the older years.
The social media interns aren't perfect, okay?
Bless their hearts.
But do you know who does have a perfect social media expert or intern?
Apocalypse.
Apocalypse does. Have you seen his Facebook and his social media? His
Instagram. Yeah, go check it out. Age of Apocalypse.
Yeah, he gets in a lot of Twitter battles
online. I bet. So. I am the coolest mutant. So this one we've had to go over a couple times to try to figure out how this one works, but I think we've got it. I think.
All right. Well, if you're so confident, why don't you start us off here?
Okay. So I think to start off, we need to kind of talk about the main scheme / side schemes. So that's what I'm going to do. So he's got his main scheme, the Age of Apocalypse. And he's got like, the image is like a world engine from like the Superman, Zack Snyder.
Mm,
it's kind of weird looking.
Yep.
Either way, so its threat cap is X per player. And so X is the numeral in Apocalypse's printed hit points value. So for example, his stage one is, what is it, 8? Mm-hmm. Yeah, 8. So that means it's 8 per player. But it also changes as his stages change. So he does have a force interrupt. When Apocalypse would be defeated, discard each attachment from him and heal all damage from him instead. Remove X threat from this scheme. So basically, when you defeat him, he just gets reset. And then you gotta do it all over again. So that doesn't sound fun.
All right, well, riddle me this, Batman. So it has a threat threshold, but it doesn't say anything of if you max out that threshold, what happens?
Not on the main scheme, it doesn't.
Okay.
But it does on the villain cards.
All right.
So shall we go ahead and talk about that, or should we move on to
the side schemes? I think we should talk about Apocalypse. Maybe that'll answer my question.
Yep. All right. Well, then I'll let you answer your own question by talking about Apocalypse.
All right. Well, it was revealed that he has 4 stages. 1, 2, 3, and 4. Stage 1 is a 1 scheme, 2 attack, mutant traded, has toughness, and he has a forced interrupt. When the main scheme is completed, remove all threat from it, ignoring any crisis icons. Flip this card and reveal Apocalypse 2.
Ding, 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 ding.
So if it pops, you just move on to the next Apocalypse.
Yeah.
And it gets a higher threshold. And he looks like he gets a little tougher. Apocalypse 2 is a 2-2, 9 per player, steady toughness with the same interrupt, except for going to stage 3. And stage 3 is a 2 scheme, 3 attack, steady and toughness still, with the same forced interrupt. And then Apocalypse 4 is a 3 scheme, 3 attack, stalwart toughness. Apocalypse's attacks now gain overkill, and a forced interrupt. When the main scheme is completed, the players lose the game.
So that is how you lose the game.
Yikes. So, Ryan, do you think you play all four stages?
I would say no, based off the cards that they revealed. But it does feel like this scenario is going to be a long one, or at least can be a very long one, personally. Because, I mean, you can't, the way you defeat them isn't your traditional way. Normally, you want to move on to the next stage and defeat that final stage and you're done. But this one, it doesn't do that. It just resets and keeps going.
So you don't think it's 1 through 4, always?
I don't think so.
See, I tend to think it is because that last card says forced interrupt when the main scheme would be completed, the players lose the game. None of those other cards have that forced interrupt.
Correct.
And if you're thinking like it's like for standard is 1, 2, 3, and then for expert it's 2, 3, 4 or something.
So let me explain, my young Padawan.
Okay.
Similar to Hela, this scenario, you've got to get through some side schemes. You got to go through the story. So I believe the first one is going to be Heart of the Empire. And it's got some stuff relating to different type of minions. But the key part on here is says the first player reveals, when defeated, the first player reveals a random set aside prelate minion. Deal each other player and a counter card. Flip this card over. I assume, based off the cards they revealed, it switches to the Towering Citadel. And I should mention, the Heart of the Empire has an acceleration token. The Towering Citadel has 2 acceleration tokens.
Icon.
And that one also has a when defeated. The first player does some stuff. And this has revealed the Tyrant's Throne side scheme and removed this card from the game. So now let's jump into another side scheme, the Tyrant's Throne, which has 3 acceleration tokens. Does some stuff revolving prelate minions. And again, it says when defeated, blah, 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 some minion stuff and counter cards. Flip this card over and reveal no longer worthy. And that, I think, it is how you defeat the villain and why I think you don't have to go through all the stages.
Let's see, my only thing with what I was pointing out is you can't lose with only 1, 2, and 3.
Correct. Yeah, it's almost like an infinite loop.
Right.
In theory.
Which makes me tend to believe that you're going to be playing all 4 to get through this.
Yeah. The way you lose in this scenario, in my opinion, is you either die or live long enough to see yourself become the villain. No, either he's just going to kill you or you're just going to thwart out long enough until he gets to the 4th and then he beats you. Because no longer worthy says it's a condition attachment. You attach it to Apocalypse and he heals 5 per player hit points. He cannot take damage while there's a prelate minion in play. You ignore the force interrupt on the main scheme, which talks about when he's defeated, discard each attachment, heal him, reset it, and all that. Then it says, when Apocalypse is defeated, the players win the game.
Right.
Now, hold on here. Hold on, Jack. I have a thought. I need to work through this here. It says ignore the force interrupt on the main scheme. So the main scheme, the force interrupt is blah, 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 healing damage. But it also says remove X threat from this scheme.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's no longer worthy, and let's say we're on stage 2, and we're playing 1 player, So that's 9 threat. If it hits 9 threat, he would advance to stage 3.
Mm-hmm.
But it would not reset.
Correct. The value wouldn't reset.
So then the next value is 10.
Oh, no. Because you go off of his villain card. It says when the main scheme is completed,
remove
all threat from it.
Okay.
You just don't re-heal him. Okay. I assume he would go back up to his regular win revealed level of hit points.
Nope. Reading's important, folks. You're right. Okay. Phew. Oh, I had a moment of like, oh my gosh, that's going to like accelerate so fast. Nope. That.
Hey,
there
you
go, people.
At least he doesn't have an Infinity Gauntlet.
Oh, there you go.
This is his famous last words, right?
You can probably put it on him.
Ugh. So I think this one's going to be a hybrid of Thanos and Hela a little bit.
Yeah, it seems interesting.
Magneto, kind of have to work your way through his, which is ironic because it makes it look like you're trying to break into the Citadel to go find him, but every villain phase, somehow he's attacking you, even though you're not in the throne room yet. So thematically, like, doesn't make sense.
He can have clones, right?
Right.
We'll just say clones.
What do you think about all the, like, conditions that the prelate minions make you have, where he can't take damage, if you're engaged with one, those side schemes can't have threat removed while you're engaged with a prelate minion? What do you think about that mechanic?
I think it's okay. I think we've seen some of it with Next Evolution Marauder stuff.
Yeah.
I think I haven't seen any of the prelate minions, so I'm not sure how they're gonna play. Maybe they're terrible. Maybe they're kind of average. But it definitely will be a roadblock that you have to deal with. Especially, it seems like they're going to be coming out a lot, too.
Yeah. You're going to have to really work on them and work on him at the same time and deal with threat. He sounds like he's got a lot going on.
Yeah. Yeah. There really isn't any reason to attack Apocalypse until you can get through these side schemes. It's mostly going to be focused on minions.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm curious if this is number 3, what is going to be the other two?
We had mentioned earlier, this will be like a spoiler break. If you don't want to know, then skip forward a couple seconds, minutes. But when they announced the box, they extended the teaser, little trailer video, and it has the box doing a big 360 around. And if you pause it at the right second and look at that one freeze frame, it does look like on the back of the box, there is a dark beast scenario.
Dun, dun, dun. So I wonder how that's going to work.
So my speculation from our teaser episode was spot on.
I guess you're right. Yeah, I guess they're doing Dark Beast. I'm not sure how they're going to play that one, but we shall see.
Yeah, we shall see. Maybe he captures you and your his like test subjects, because isn't he like sort of a scientist?
Yeah, he's just Dr. Hyde. Is it? Yeah, Dr. Hyde. Mr. Dr. Hyde.
Zola. Arnim Zola.
Oh.
He was a doctor, right?
Sure. Not I'm a doctor, right?
Not a doctor.
There's a couple other things that were revealed. There was some campaign mission card type stuff coming into play. Not a whole lot. It looks like you get to do some missions throughout the campaign. Should be interesting how they pull that out. But like one of them is mission team. It's a support. You can choose an action. You can reduce the cost of an ally by 2. Or what would it say? played to a mission. By two. Yeah.
So what it looks like is there's a couple side schemes that are mission cards, and you send allies off to them to put counters on them to complete the mission. And then they also revealed a Sugarman minion, and
it's disturbing.
Yeah, he's victory 5, and it says cannot take damage while another mission minion is at the mission. Mission response: after you discard cards, heal 3 damage from Sugarman for each physical resource discarded. So I guess you're doing things to try and defeat him, maybe? I'm not exactly sure.
But yeah, this is interesting.
My question to you is, he's got a victory 5. Do you think this will be the first box that we've seen in a while that goes back to some type of market point purchasing? Or was it Sinister Motives? When you got victory points, you kind of sped through their hierarchy of benefits as you went down.
I don't know. Was it Guardians you said, or was it Sinister Motives you said?
Guardians, you get like points and you can spend them on different things in the market. But then with Sinister Motives, you got victory points, and it kind of made how many you got in this after a single scenario. So if you did really, really well, you got a bunch of cool stuff, but then the villains and setup also got a couple of benefits too.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I would like to see victory be important, because I feel it's just a way to remove a card from the game without saying
removed from the game.
Yeah. So, yeah, who knows? I'm interested to see how this goes. It looks like it's going to be more complex than past campaign stuff. So we'll see.
Yep. All right. Well, they did reveal one final thing, and that is a new standard set, Standard 3.
Because 2 like wasn't good enough.
2 was not good enough. Now we have 3. And it looks like with an emphasis on trying to get your nemesis minion out more frequently. Or at least out at all during your game.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless you're just one of those players where it's like always your first encounter card of the game.
Yeah. Yeah. I say we'll let the listeners dive more into it, but essentially Shadows of the Past is no longer just a treachery. It's a environment, and it kind of works towards coming out rather than just random fate.
Yeah. And then the set itself has some treachery cards that add tokens, which plays into how you get that environment to flip.
Yeah. Yeah. So should be interesting. I like, what do you call them? Nemesis. But I will say, I don't always like it when they come out. Some of them are pretty brutal.
Some of them are pretty brutal. Yeah.
So that basically wraps up all the cards.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on the villains? Final thoughts?
The 3 that were shown, they look good. You know, we're many, many waves into this game, and I think they know what like style of each of these works and what doesn't work. So I'm looking forward to seeing how they've implemented that. And at face value, with the cards we've been revealed, they look like they're going to be the potential to be quite challenging. So if anybody thought that Next Evolution was a cakewalk, I have a sneaky suspicion that this one's going to step that up a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. I think I'm excited for Apocalypse. I tend to gravitate more towards the story type scenarios.
Work your way through the scenario. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm excited for Apocalypse. He's also, I really like Apocalypse. So I'm hoping that one is going to be a real big win. So especially it's Apocalypse. He's got to be great. So.
Yeah. You got to do Apocalypse right.
If you don't, we'll get you.
If you don't, then you'll just be in the Fox movie universe. So.
Oh, no.
Oh, low blow. Too soon? Too soon?
Too soon. But, Scott, before we go, I want to get your quick predictions. They also revealed the silhouettes of what appears to be the four heroes coming along with this set. Any thoughts?
The second one from the left. So the second one, if you're going from left to right.
One standing or looks like they're standing?
Standing looks like a big heavy collared jacket with the sleeves pulled up and what I can only assume is a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cell phone, teenage jacket, punk 90s. Makes me want to guess. Possibly a Jubilee with big poofy hair.
That would be my guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other ones, I'm not totally sure. The one on the right, I don't have no idea. I mean, silhouette of some hair.
It's
and
so
some
generic.
Ears. Right. I'm assuming it's a male character. But that's about all I got.
It looks like a lot of the popular opinions on the Facebook is Jubilee, like you said. The one next to her with like the spiky hair, the Goku hair,
mm-hmm.
is people are thinking that's Nightcrawler.
Which I can see. You can see some pointy ears. If you look at the very bottom, it almost looks like he's a
like squatting.
Like a catcher. Yeah, you can see like his two legs and silhouette between the two legs.
Yeah.
The light shining through. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think like you said with that one on the right, the other two, I think people are kinda up in the air, not fully sure who they're gonna be. Some popular opinions are Beast mm-hmm. and Iceman. I wonder if like Havoc could be a wild card.
Sure.
I wonder if they're kind of like a Shadows of the Past wave. It had Guardians and Avengers, so I'm wondering if maybe there's some X-Force in there.
Oh, like we don't a random have. X-Force hero. Like it's a split wave. Half X-Men, half X-Force.
Yeah, maybe like a Forge would be cool. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I think everyone's pretty confident with the Jubilee and Nightcrawler. So we'll see what the other two are.
Sounds good. I wonder how they'll pair them. If they'll do like 1 and 2 and 3 and 4, or they're like 1 and 4 and 2 and 3, or 1 and 3 and 2 and 4 with releases.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows? Only the great FFG.
You know, the guy on the very far right could be Gold Balls.
Oh.
Gold Balls hero.
There it is. It's Gold Balls. So, well, good. Overall, I'm excited. I'm really excited about this box. I'm really hoping it sticks its landing perfectly. I hope it's the best out of the mutant trilogy, unless they do a fourth mutant, which would be cool, too.
Right. I think if they did a fourth mutant, it's going to be down the road. Many, many waves down the road.
Okay. All right.
My personal opinion.
Do three, do a side mission, and then do another three wave? Is that what the consistency appears to be?
It's what it looks like it's been, but with those three wave kind of trilogies, you've got to find some team or something that's going to give you consistent, you know, products for those three waves.
Yeah.
I mean,
I have my theories. I have a pretty big controversial. It's not controversial at all, but
not at all.
I have my theories. We'll have to talk about it.
All right. Well, you, I'm going to take your pen out. Is there something you wanted to talk about before we close here?
I think I'll just dangle the carrot in front of the fans, and we'll have to talk about it another time.
All right. I'll put a pen back in it. All right. Thanks for listening. If you want to tell us your thoughts about the Age of Apocalypse campaign box and your thoughts on the heroes or villains that have been revealed, we would love to hear your feedback. You can reach us at marvelchampionspod@gmail.com. And as always, if you want to go from a chump to a champ, listen to the Marvel Champions podcast. Thanks.
You're welcome.